The following audio is from North Life Church in Fort McMurray, Alberta. More information is available at northlifechurch.ca.
I was thinking with the last few days and the heat wave, I was wishing there was some way to bottle this heat and just let it out little by little in January and February and March. So I'm trying to figure out how to do that. Like the pastor said, I think it's one of the hottest places on earth right now. They told me I was moving north. It is difficult to understand that right now, but it's a wonderful break. We live in a great country, amen? Amen. You know, sometimes we like things to be different, and we would like maybe this politician to be in and that politician to be out, and this program to be offered and this program to be discontinued, and it's good to have our opinions, and it's good to want to see change periodically. But let me say this, and many of you know it to be true, we do live, I'm biased, but I believe we live in the best country in the world. We have such tremendous freedoms. You understand that many countries, you cannot assemble like we are assembling today. You just are not allowed to do it. And all worship has to be in secret, in a basement or in a room in the house, not allowed to freely worship. There's many, many countries in the world that Christians definitely cannot assemble. Not allowed any church buildings. Not allow any place that regularly you gather. But we have this freedom today to come and sing and praise and worship. And we ought to give gratitude to God for that. We have a democratic society in which at least periodically we can go and vote, yes or no. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but was your vote counted this time? Were you happy? Don't raise your hand. I'm wearing red today. I'm not wearing any other political colors. This is just for Canada today. But we do have the privilege of voting. We ought to take it. And as many believers in Christ as possible ought to be involved in government and understand that that is a spiritual undertaking, to be able to represent your country. So we have much to be thankful for. Recently, just a few months ago, I had the privilege of attending the Lieutenant Governor's House in downtown Halifax, Nova Scotia. And it was a very special event because our daughter-in-law, Carito, she became a Canadian citizen just a few months ago. And it was so nice to be there for that regal opportunity. And I think at that time, I think there was about 30 others became Canadian citizens. And it was delightful from all different countries. It was delightful to see the joy on their faces. And God knows what they came from. Amen? But they were just filled with gratitude. You could see it, that they could become Canadian citizens under the protection, the freedom, the law. Not every country has that. The order, the government of this country and all that it offers, and the opportunities to attempt and to achieve and to be what you can be here. So I was so proud to be able to glance over. She was over here, and of course my son and I were standing over here. And to glance over and see, you raise your right hand, of course, and you pledge allegiance, in a sense, to this country and all that it means. And the one who was guiding the ceremony said, if you are a longtime Canadian citizen, you may raise your hand also and reaffirm your gratitude to the country and reaffirm the privilege of being a Canadian citizen. And then right afterward, all the fancy Royal Canadian Mounted Police, they looked almost as good as I did that day. Just as humble. And some of the RCMP were there in the beauty of their, what do you call that? The red, what they call, what is it? Yeah, beautiful, isn't it? I might try to borrow one someday just to try it on. And they were standing there, and I just caught a snapshot of our daughter-in-law and one of the RCMP guys who was so kind and so open and listening to each one of the ones who had just become Canadian citizens. We have a lot to be thankful for. And every time I think about being a citizen of this country, I want to be reminded, and I am reminded, of some things that the Bible says. You know, we are not only Canadian citizens. It is possible to become a citizen of heaven. Would you say that phrase, please, citizen of heaven? Would you say that? Citizen of heaven. Interesting, isn't it? I haven't been to heaven yet. And let me tell you this, you haven't been either. If you thought you have, come and see me after service. Maybe, but we'll have a talk. But it's possible to have what I sometimes call dual citizenship. To be a citizen of this nation, this country, or whatever country you are a citizen of, and also be a citizen of heaven. What does that mean, to have dual citizenship? You see, there's responsibilities that we have because we are Canadian citizens. And there's also responsibilities that we have, if we know Christ, because we are citizens of what? Heaven. We really have one foot in this world and the other foot in the other world. Sometimes we are thinking this life, and sometimes we are thinking what? The other reality. And it's all good. And we need to learn to live, because I know, just like you do, sometimes things are not always done biblically in this country. Amen? Oh, you think it is all the time, do you? You know, sometimes there's laws made or laws deducted. Sometimes there's decisions made that we know automatically it goes contrary to what? To the Word of God. Yet there's many great things in this country. But we are dual citizens if we are Christians. So some things we know we enjoy and we participate in this life and this country, but we know there's other things that are awaiting us. We're not in heaven yet. And things are going to change. So I want us just to look at Philippians chapter 3. If you have your Bibles, if you don't have your Bibles, you can bring them next time. However, I usually give most of it to you on the screen anyway. But listen to this in Philippians. Remember Galatians, Ephesians, and then we come into what? I think I said it right, did I? It's close enough, you know what I mean. But it's not all up there. You've got to listen to me. Philippians chapter 3. Listen to it, please. You will hit some of it up on the screen. Listen. Dear brothers and sisters, Paul is writing. He's in prison, by the way. And this time he's in more of a dungeon reality. And he's in prison. And he realizes afresh in prison that we have a citizenship here, but we also had a citizenship where? There. And he says, dear brothers and sisters, we would just say this way, dear Christ followers, dear Christians, he says, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. Listen, he says, for I have told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes. What's bothering Paul? What's causing him to weep? Well, listen to what he says here. He said, this causes my heart to break. And here it is. He says, I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows that they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. Let me say it again. He's saying, there are many whose conduct, whose pattern of life, whose lifestyle lets us know that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. How can someone be an enemy of the cross of Christ? And let me just say this. He's not just talking about those who are anti-Christ, anti-God. He's talking about anyone who professes to know the Lord. You know, it's quite an armful he has. He says, I've noticed that there are many, they not only are anti-Christ, but he says sometimes they, are you ready for this? Are you ready? They pretend they're Christians. They wear the name, but not the conduct. They wear the name Christian, but you cannot tell that they are citizens of what? Heaven, by their conduct. And he says, in reality, we know what people believe by how they live. Cheap to talk, isn't it? But we know who we are by the way that we conduct ourselves, by the way that we live. And he said, some, they may say something or verbalize something, but when you watch, it doesn't add up. And he says, this is Paul. This is not me. This is Paul, the one who interacted directly with Jesus. He says, but in reality, because they're not living it, they're enemies of Christ. And they're enemies of the what? Of the cross. I will say it time and time again. Jesus died on the cross for our what? Sins. Let's take it a little further. The Bible says all have sinned and come what? Short of the glory of God. We all are sinners. And we're going to battle that reality till one day we're with the Lord in heaven. However, there ought to be a substantive change having come to the cross of Christ. And I will say it in this way. Not only did Jesus die for our sins, he died to take away our sins, to give us new liberty, a new master, a new direction, to begin to take from us not only the penalty of sin, but the power of sin. I believe we ought to be able to tell who's a Christian and who's not by the way we live. Is that all right? Is that okay with you? And the Apostle Paul is writing here. He's saying there ought to be a difference, but it is not always so. But then he goes on to say this beautiful thing. He says here, and I think I have it for you. He said, they're headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They affirm, or they brag about shameful things. Watch this. They think only about this life here on what? Earth. Now, we must think about this life on earth, right? We must think about this life because we need... Thank you, sister. But I didn't point directly at you, did you? But God bless you. You got an extra word today. You see, we need to think about this life. We have families to raise, amen? We have to make a certain income. We have to keep body and soul together. We have to have a roof over our heads. We need to think about things in this life. But the challenge that Paul said, some people, that's all they think about. It's only things on this earth. Because he said we, especially if we claim to be Christ's followers, he said we need to think not only about this life and the affairs of earth, but we need to realize, and I love this, he says they think only of life here on earth, but, oh, I love this, but we are citizens of what? Heaven. We are citizens of heaven. And then he says, I didn't underline this, but I should have. Sometimes I underline something in the Bible that just kind of pops out, you know. He says, we're not only earthlings, but we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. Sometimes people will ask and maybe challenge a little bit. Where is heaven? Where is it up? Is it out? Is it there? Where is heaven? That's not an easy question to answer in some ways. But we know heaven is the place where Jesus Christ, it says three words, the Lord Jesus Christ, full name, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the Lord, he's Jesus, the human being, he's Christ, the anointed one. Heaven is where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. If we ask the question, where is heaven? It is wherever Jesus is. He died on the cross for our what? Sins. He rose on the third day, and then 40 days later, he ascended up into what? Into heaven, and he went back to heaven. And he's there now, seated on the right hand of God the Father. So I want to pop into your heads and hearts today three things about heaven. And I think they're awesome. Three things about heaven. Heaven is a place. Do you believe that? Heaven is a place. Heaven is a what? A people. Heaven is a people. And heaven is a promise. Heaven is a real place. Now, if your theology changes that, change your theology. Did I say that? Heaven is a place. Look what Jesus said concerning this. And we all love this, John 14. Remember that before he had the Lord's Supper and went to the cross and went back to heaven? Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a what? A thought? A philosophy? An idea? An existence? A theological debate? I don't think this is overly difficult. Jesus said, I go to prepare a what? A place, a real place. I go to prepare a place for you. And watch this. I go to prepare a place for you. When everything is ready, I will come and get you. It's been 2,000 years since he said it. It must be going to be quite a place for Almighty God to take 2,000 years to get it ready. He says, I go to prepare a place for you, and when everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am. Oh, I feel good about that. And I'm a Baptist. Still feel good. So that you will always be with me where I am. Someone said this, it is great to have Jesus here where we are. It will be greater for us to be there where he is. Because by his Spirit, he is with us in this auditorium today. By his Spirit, he lives within our bodies today. And it's great to have the Lord's presence by the Holy Spirit here. It is great to have him here with us. It is going to be even greater one day for us to be there with him. Heaven is a place, not just a concept, or not some esoteric thing that floats somewhere. It's real. It's real. Let me make a prediction. I predict a move in your future. I predict a move in your future. Because Jesus said, I'm preparing a place, and I will come back again and take you from here to what? To there. Many of us know what it means to move. And some of you know the reality. You go ahead, whether it's Fort McMurray or it's wherever it is. You went ahead of the family, and you got some things ready. And then you went back, flew whatever you did. Then you went back and what? And you gathered the family up. And you took the family wherever, right? That's what Jesus is saying. I'm going back to heaven. I will prepare the place for you. Then I will come and take you there. What a day that will be. We are citizens of heaven. We're part of that. And there's a move coming. Are you ready? I don't want to miss that move. It's possible to miss it. If Christ is not living within you, if you haven't believed in him. So heaven is a place, a real place, and a move is imminent for some, later on for others. Heaven is also a people. Look what it says in Philippians 3, verse 20, chapter 1, verse 27. Heaven is a people. It says here, we are citizens of heaven. where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. And then he says, you must live as citizens of what? You see, the we and the what? The you is plural here, by the way. You must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. You see, he's saying, not only is there a place called heaven, and I'm going to come and take you there one day, I'm getting it ready, but he's saying heaven is not just, being citizens of heaven is not just waiting for that day, it's living like citizens of heaven now. There's a poem that says, to dwell with saints above will be eternal glory. To dwell with saints below, well, that's another story. Christians can be some nasty, don't you agree? You know, a lot of Christians, not a lot, yeah, a lot, I call them porcupine Christians. You know what a porcupine is, don't you? Have any up here? You don't? Where'd they all go? Did you shoot them all? Too cold? No. You have them, okay. You need to get your act together. Some of you said no, and some of you say yes. It has been said a lot of Christians are porcupine Christians. They have a lot of good points, but you can't get close to them. There's none here, of course, in this church. You know, I meet a lot, you know, they have everything all lined out. Do, 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 you know? All checked off, checked off, checked off. All the doctor, don't use everything. But they're nasty. Not nice. Hard, callous, opinionated. You're happy when they leave. While others are happy when they come in. You see, we are to grow in the grace of God. Grace means graciousness. We talk about amazing grace, and we ought to, but it means graciousness. We are to exemplify the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, hope, faith, those beautiful, transformative traits of the Holy Spirit. When we mingle among others, be they converted or unconverted, there ought to be a sense that the presence of God is there. Because we are citizens of what? Heaven. There ought to be a fragrance of heaven about us. And that's what Paul keeps saying. We're going there, so let's experiment now. What we're going to become, let's get a little taste of it now. And what an opportunity we have in this church of great diversity to learn to go deeper with God in our relationships with one another. What a beautiful opportunity here to have unity in diversity, just like it will be in heaven. Let's test it now. Let's be forgivers now. Let's be apologizers now. Let's be supportive now. Let's allow some of that good things, the good things of God ooze out now. Because we're citizens of what? Heaven. You see, heaven is a place, but heaven is also a people. We have dual citizenship. We are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus lives, so you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. God help me. God help me, and God help you as we interact with each other, and especially as we interact with those out there who don't yet know our Lord. They will come to Him, some of them, but they don't yet know our Lord. Let us so live the Christ life that they'll want Him. And if we can't walk the walk and live the life, until you're ready to do that, don't talk the talk. Just leave it alone. leave it alone. Until there's a renewal within yourself before Almighty God, then the talk and walk will flow. You see, heaven is a place. He will come and take us there one day. Heaven is a people. We have a segment of the people here today. And we're not sure, but probably about 140,000 more people will become the people of God today. Every day, approximately 140,000 people become followers of Christ somewhere in the world. Great, great family. Growing family. Heaven is a place. Heaven is a people. Let's live as citizens of heaven. And heaven is a promise. Amen? A promise God will keep. We often do not keep our promises. Or what we promise is not worthy of keeping. I promise to do this. I promise to get you. Well, that's not a promise worth keeping. But when God makes a promise, he's going to keep the promise. We can rest in that. And heaven is a promise. And look what it says, Peter. Peter is the apostle of power. John is the apostle of love. Paul is the apostle of righteousness. And Peter, the apostle of power. Remember he jumped over the boat, sank, and got up again? Peter said, now we live with great expectation. And we have a priceless inheritance. An inheritance that is kept in heaven. The word here, it's kept powerfully in heaven for you. We are kept by the power of God. Let me say this, there's no loss of salvation in that. When God says, I'm going to keep you, he's not going to renege. He's going to keep us. And Peter says, we are kept by the power of God. And he says, we have an inheritance in heaven. It's reserved for us. This is very special. Change is coming. And we have an inheritance. Peter said, he said, it's an inheritance that never corrupts. It never gets old. It never gets rusty. It never decays. You know, the best of what we have here now seems to run out. The things we have that are shiny don't seem to stay shiny. Now, thankfully, for you who own businesses, they don't. But almost everything we have here, it corrupts, decays, rusts, wears down, runs out. But the inheritance in heaven is just the opposite. Never rusts, never run down. It's absolutely perfect. My, if we could just get a little glimpse today of heaven, just the curtain would pull back a little and we get a peek in. Just a peek in. There, something would change within us. And he says, heaven is a promise. There's a priceless inheritance there, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you. I've been told that the baby boomers in the next few years will inherit billions and billions of dollars in Canada. Sorry, young people. Be good to us. We're going to get it before you. Sorry, just the way it is. I don't understand it. But the baby boomers are going to inherit billions of dollars in Canada, which could be a good thing, maybe not. You know, it depends what it does to us. But that is insignificant compared to the inheritance that we will have for all of eternity without flaw in that place where Jesus lives. Inheritance. Inheritance. Pastor Summers, how do I get there? Can we be absolutely certain we're going to heaven? Is it possible to know we're going there? Absolutely. I would say this, if you're not sure when you die you're going there and you're a citizen of heaven, I would take the afternoon off if I were you. And before night fell, I would want all doubts removed. Life's too uncertain. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the what? Life. No one comes to the Father in my Father's house and many what? No one comes to the Father except through who? Through me. If you have never said, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Between you and the Lord now we're talking about. If you've never, Lord, thank you that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you died there for me. Now, Lord Jesus, right now, would you come into my life and forgive me of my sins and give me a home in heaven when it's my time to go? Have an exchange with the living Christ today. Be sure you have invited not the church. I love the church. Not your goodness. We're not saved by our goodness. But be sure you've had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ and have received him by faith into your life. Or you will not go to heaven. You will miss it. Because heaven is where Jesus lives. And if you do not have Jesus, you will not go to where he lives. But that can be changed in an instant of time. Right here, in this building, in that seat, you can by your spirit call out to the Lord and invite him into your life, and he'll come in that instant. Amen? That's what it means to step from unbelief to belief, from darkness to light, from citizen of Canada or whoever to citizen of Canada and citizen of heaven. But you won't make it without Jesus. But he opens his arms to you today and says, come to me. Come to me. Believe on me. Something else will take place for us to go to heaven. I wrote a note here. Heaven is a purchased place prepaid by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We don't get there except we come by Christ, and there would be no heaven for us unless he paid the price. How can you put a dollar value on heaven? Let me tell you, you can't. It is absolutely priceless, but it costs somebody his life. He paid it. It's like somebody says, one of you told me you're going to Budapest soon. I've been there, beautiful city. Buda on one side of the Danube and Pest on the other side. Beautiful place. And somebody told me you're going there and you'll have a great time. Just pretend. Now, it's got to be pretend because I'm not paying for it. Just pretend that I paid for your complete trip and I paid for your great enjoyment of Budapest. I paid for it all. Then I say this, I'll pay for your air flight, I'll pay for your stay there, I'll pay for all the incidentals, I'll pay for it. Now go and enjoy it. That's what Jesus did. That's what he did. He paid for what? He paid for our heaven by his what? His sacrifice. It's prepaid, but you must accept that. You must accept that. So although I love being a dual citizen and I'm going to heaven by the goodness of God, the sacrifice of Christ, I know he took the blow. He paid for it. When they put the spikes in his what? Hands, in his feet, the crown of thorns on his what? Head, the spear in his side. And from 9 o'clock in the morning to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he hung on the cross. The best took the place of you and I. And now he says, come to me and I'll give you a life worth living here now and a guarantee of heaven one day. When Jesus went back to heaven, he said, men of Galilee, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Remember, he went up. Why are you standing there staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven. In the same way you saw him go. He's coming back again when everything's ready, and he'll take us there. He's going to transform our bodies so we can take the ascent. changing our bodies like his body. Let us bow our heads in prayer. With every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around, please. This is a holy moment. How many can say, Pastor Summers, I thank God there was a time in my life in which I had an exchange with Christ. I trusted him. I believed in him. And I know him today. Would you raise your hand, please, if you know Christ? Thank God. You may pull your hands down. There might be somebody here today. Say, Pastor Les, I know about him, but if I were to die today, I don't think I'd go to heaven. I'm just very uncertain. Well, you may become certain. How many of you here are saying, Pastor, would you pray for me because I want to be sure that I'm going to heaven? Raise your hand. Amen. Father in heaven, I do pray for those who've raised their hands today. Maybe they have some doubts. I pray, Lord, they do business with you even in this moment, that they cry out to you, dear Lord, thank you for dying for me. I believe you rose from the dead on the third day, and Lord Jesus, by your Spirit, come to live in me right now. Give me a home in heaven when I die. Maybe you cried out to the Lord like that. Call out to him, and he will remove the doubts, and you'll have great assurance of heaven one day. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you.